This evening we're reading from Bhagavad Gita, As It Is, translation and commentary by the founder Acharya of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Janma karma cha me divyam evim yo viti tatvataha takta deham punar janma naiti mam mitti sojuna. Translation. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and my activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjun. Purport, the Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma-jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there's always the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee of the Lord, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of God, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not return the risk of returning to this material world. One time we were with Śrīdhara Prabhupāda in Geneva, Switzerland. The temple room was about half the size and it was crowded with devotees from all over Europe. And the room was getting stuffy, so Prabhupāda said, "Open the window," he said, "when there are many men and women in one room, you need fresh air to stay awake, to hear the philosophy." So as many of you know, this is a very famous and often quoted verse of our epic Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, song of Krishna. And in this verse, the Lord states the benefit of understanding his appearance in this world, that one achieves mukti, one achieves liberation from all suffering, from birth, all sorts of diseases, old age, and death. Just by studying this Gita and analyzing from various points of view, God's appearance in this material world, the end result is punarjanma vidyate. Krishna says, "One who attains my abode, he never comes back." Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat shanatana. Beyond this temporary world, Texas, America, North America, Earth planet, our solar system, this universe, this cosmos. Beyond all this, there's an eternal world which is full of bliss and knowledge. And that is our real home. Not Houston, not Delhi, not Chennai, not Hyderabad, but Vaikuntha, that place where there's no miseries. And when one returns to that spiritual world, all of one's desires are fulfilled. So that should be the goal, the paramgati, the ultimate goal of every intelligent man, woman, and child. We have our relative goals to maintain this body, our family. We have our duties to society, to this great country of America. But the paramgati, the ultimate goal, is to get out of this situation. Because no one can be perfectly happy here. Only in Vaikuntha. So the means to do that is to study and understand the pastimes of God when he comes to this world. And he comes. Most of you know this. This is nothing new to you. You knew this since your grandmother took you on her lap as a small baby and spoke to you Ram Katha. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram. Krishna Leela, or you Gaudiyas, Chaitanya Leela. These things are not new to you, but in this country, your newfound home, you are adopted sons and daughters of this country. In this country, this is something revolutionary. That God appears in the material world. Today, it's a great celebration in this country. It's Easter Sunday. And we celebrate along with our Christian brothers and sisters. This is the day of their acharya. He went back to the spiritual world. On Friday, he was crucified, Jesus. They put him in the tomb. And on Sunday, when they came to see, the tomb was open, he was gone. He, as we say in India, he left this place. He went to the spiritual world. So we rejoice with them. There's no difference between the teachings of Christianity and our Vedas. Just the depth of knowledge, like first grade and postgraduate studies. We're not meaning to be disrespectful, but you have mathematics in first grade and you have mathematics in graduate studies. It's the same subject. 1 + 1 = 2. And then you get into quantum mechanics and physics and all these numeral numbers, and this is all the same. But so our tradition, our Vedic tradition, is very advanced. It's the PhD in the science of self-realization, of God realization. No difference. So we accept Jesus Christ. We accept him. In our Sanatan Dharma, he is one of the great masters who tried to inject within human society a fear of God. God is very great and you are very small. We have no problem with that. So we also, in our own way, we are rejoicing that Lord Jesus set this example of how to leave this world. The art of dying. People are only interested in the art of living. Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow you die. We're also interested in making some sense of this life, making the best use of a bad bargain. But ultimately it is all about the art of dying. Yam yam vapishmaram bhavam tiyatati antakalevaram. Whatever mentality, whatever you think about, whatever is close to your heart, when you die, Krishna says, that state verily you will attain. So if God is most dear to your heart, you will go to God. And that is the goal of life. So here we have some information about God's appearance. They say, oh, no, no, Jesus has appeared, Son of God. Yes, Father has also come. No, 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 no. One time Prabhupada said, one man said, no, no, God cannot come. And Prabhupada said, who can stop him? He comes. When there's some disturbance. Ete chamsa kalopumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam mokam vidayute juge juge paribhasha sutra. The fundamental, basic verse of Bhagavatam. And he comes in his various incarnations, indriya vyakalam lokam, whenever there's a disturbance created by the enemies of Indra. Who's Indra? He's Devata. He's godly. And when the enemies of Indra are ungodly, they're asura, not sura, but asura, demoniac. When they get the upper hand, Then Lord sends some sadhu to preach the truth, or some prophet, or his son. And sometimes when the situation's way out of hand, he has to come himself. It's like if there's some boy comes and he's causing some problem in the back while I'm speaking. I'll say, Prabhu, you can... He can't stop. This is a big boy here. He must be called Bhim. So we send Bhim. But Bhim can't do, so then, you know, I'm the quote-unquote senior person giving the lecture. Then I'll say, enough of that nonsense. Out. It's like that. God comes in the situation. We read in the Bhagavatam that 5,000 years ago, this planet was overburdened by impious kings. Sometimes the government's not all good. They make themselves out to look very good in the primaries. But when they get into office, it's something completely different, as we see with our present president. But this is not a political platform here, so we won't discuss. So when those who are in charge abuse the mass of people, as is happening in very sinister ways in different parts of the world, different governments. You know what is happening now in Tibet. So when the situation becomes topsy-turvy, upside down, unbearable, yadayadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat adbhutanam adharmasya. When there's no longer religion, but it's only irreligion, or when irreligion is supposed to, is presented as religion, Govindam Adipurusham Tamam Bhaja. Govinda comes. But it actually, when you take their point of view, it's actually quite amazing. Why would he come here? This is a place of misery. It's a place of misery. Abhrama bhuvana loka punar arvitu arjuna mamupetate gontya. What does Krishna say? We say the world's like this, the world's like that. Who's the authority? Who created it? Who's maintaining it? Who eventually will dissolve it, destroy it? God. What about his opinion? Everyone's got an opinion, but nobody asks God in these days, what's your opinion? My opinion is, from the highest planet, Brahma Lok, down to Patal Lok, all the place of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So why should he come here? He's of another nature. Om Anandamayo Bhyasat. Anandamaya means that God, he's composed, his nature is very blissful. Abhyasat means by nature he's very blissful. He's not like you and me. Sometimes up, sometimes down, mostly down. We're up, we're down, it's hot. Now it's nice, but it was too cold, and summer's coming, and Houston is too hot. Why did I schedule my visit now? Because the weather's very nice. You open the door in a few months and a heat wave comes. So he's always blissful. He's the reservoir. So why come to a place full of misery? There's that saying. What's a nice person like you doing in a place like this? Does Houston have a bad part of town? You don't know. You're all good boys. But I'm sure there's a bad part of town. And what if you met the governor of the state there? I think actually there was a situation like that recently. The governor of New York? We won't go into details. This is a holy place. And they caught him, FBI. What are you doing here? I left my wallet behind. So you might wonder, why is God here? Why come here? There's a great pundit. Pundit means learned person. Chanyaka. Who knows Chanaka Pandit? You've heard of Chanaka Pandit? Your grandmother also used to read Chanaka Pandit. Niti Shastra. Niti Shastra is how to live in this world so that you can have a nice platform, springboard for going back to the spiritual world. How to live in a reasonable way. Niti Shastra. So in his Niti Shastra, Chanaka Pandit says, if you're planning a vacation, I didn't exactly say it like that, but if you're planning to go somewhere, if you're a traveler like me, sannyasi means you can't stay in any single place longer than 72 hours. A rolling stone gathers no moss. So for the last 40 years, I've been a devotee almost 40 years, generally I don't stay in any one place more than 3 days. Always moving. Hopefully I'm moving forward, not rolling backwards. So, here's some advice to someone in my situation. Don't go to a place where there's not a clean river, he says, where there's not a pious king, brahmanas, a good doctor, and you have no friends. Tell us. You may not be so concerned, but for me, yes. You want to have good water, Bisleri. If you go to India, oh, don't drink the water from the tap in Delhi. Very bad. You drink Bisleri, otherwise you'll get sick. Don't go to a place where there's not a pious king, or let us say impious governments. I've been to many places where there's impious governments. Russia, before the Soviet Union disintegrated, I was in Russia 1988-89. It was called the Evil Empire, and it was. Difficult, very difficult. I've been in Bosnia, Sarajevo, during the war, Chechnya, Grozny, these places we passed through. Life is very difficult. Even now, we go to some places we cannot mention. And difficult for the people. Here in this country, sometimes people are spoiled. They complain about this and complain about that, and they're down and they're depressed. 66% of the world's population goes to bed hungry every night. The better part of this world, they can't openly express their spiritual belief. We have so much to be grateful for in this country, America. So if you're going to go on vacation, don't choose, you know, Darfur. Go to Paris. No, better go to Vrindavan. Don't go to a place where there's not brahmanas who are educating the people in the absolute truth. Don't go to a place where there's not good doctor. When I'm traveling in Russia, I'm always a little nervous, even today. If I get sick, you go to a hospital, you go to the emergency room in Irkutsk, in Siberia. They have jackhammers and saws and hammers and nails. What's all this? This is our medical instruments. I had one disciple. I have one disciple. She's in her 90s now. I called her Kishori Dasi. Kishori means youthful, name of Radharani, Kishori, young gopi, to inspire her. She chants 64 rounds a day, studies day in and day out, very clear intelligence. And she told me that when she was young and living in Ukraine, she had a cyst in her abdomen, it had to be removed. So she said, look, Guru Maharaj, she's an old woman. She pulled the hair. There was this incision from this side, practically all the way across her stomach. I said, wow, how long were you asleep? She said, no, there was no anesthesia. There was no anesthesia. In communist Russia, we were poor. We didn't have anesthesia. I said, what did you do? She said, I just bit the bullet. Siddhakti Guru Maharaj, I will tell you, it's not nice, but, you know, I drank about a quarter of a liter of whiskey. When I was a young kid, that's all you could do. And just knock. Well, these are real life experiences. Don't go if there's not good doctors. And then he concludes, don't go to a place where people are inimical towards you. Now, our country doesn't have a very good reputation around the world, I can tell you. Anyway, you know why. So, it's a little hard. But you don't want to go to some place where people don't like you. So, does anyone like God in this world? To greater or lesser degrees, but really, everyone is in this world to forget God. Essentially, this is a place of forgetfulness. One devotee said to the most recent incarnation of God, Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, you have so much love for Krishna. He just laughed. He said, what? If I loved Krishna, I wouldn't be here. I'd be there. This is not a place where you find lovers of God. Yes, granted, we find some saints, but they're few and they're far between. And they don't take birth like you and me. They come to rescue you and me, the difference between them and us. I don't think so. So how is it that he comes? From Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone's a little inimical, a touch of envy, the cardinal sin, we've come to eat the forbidden fruit. We can quote our Christian brothers today. It's Easter. The forbidden fruit, God said no, and Adam and Eve said yes. All right, eat, bye-bye. Dallas. And still he comes. How is that? Tesham eva nukampartam aham agyad jantamaha. He says in the Gita that out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. It's the compassion. Just like a child may leave home and forget the parents, but do the parents ever forget the children? Most of you are parents. There's very few renunciates here. There's me and Maharaj. I'm a couple brahmacharis. We'll see. Time will tell who stood and who fell. You're householders. And if your child leaves home, they may forget you. But do you forget them? No. Every day, the memory increases. The attachment increases. Am I correct? The same is like with God. Prabhupada said one time, the Lord is more anxious that we return to the spiritual world than we are. Therefore, he's making so many arrangements. It says in Gita that he comes once in a day of Brahma. By universal time, he's coming every day. What? Sarva dharmam padichaka. No. We slam the door. Next day. Yes. Sarva dharmam buddhis. Just give up all sinful activities. Surrender to me. I will. No. He's sending so many sadhus, so many saints, so many rishis, so many yogis, so many ayatollahs, so many priests. Essentially, they're saying the same thing. This is not your real home. Wake up. Go back to the spiritual world. And still they don't listen. This is his compassion. He comes himself. Once there was Akbar? He's famous in our history of India. Akbar was Muslim, ruling much of Uttar Pradesh, UP. The whole northern India, actually, for that part. The whole northern India. But he was a unique person. He was more open-minded than, for example, Aurangzeb. Very open-minded, and he was He actually was interested in studying different religious philosophies. It is said that he actually went to Braj and met Śrīla Jīva Goswami. They say like that. He met the Goswamis there. And he kind of started his own religion, kind of a concoction, kind of like the modern-day Baha'i faith. Took a little bit from here and everything and mixed it all together like a soup. So he was open-minded, and he had one minister, you know, Birbal. Birbal was there, very intelligent minister, and Birbal also kind of doubled as a court jester. Because, you know, to be a king, it's a lot of management, you get headaches. You ever been a temple president? Oh boy, toughest job in ISKCON. Be the president of America, your ratings go down year by year. By the time you leave, you've got minus 3% of the population is favoring you. One time, Akbar became very angry at Birbal. He said, "Birbal, what's the difference between you and a donkey?" So Birbal stepped forward 2 steps towards Akbar. He said, 2 steps, sir. That's the difference, 2 steps. And Akbar started laughing. If you look very sharp and intelligent, you don't understand. So one time they were having a philosophical discussion, because Akbar was philosophical. And he said, "Birbal, in your Hindu tradition, what are you calling Allah? What do you call God?" And Birbal, he was very well learned. He said, "Sir, we are calling him Krishna. Krishna means the most beautiful one." "Oh, yes, Allah. Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah." "I'm saying it perfectly." Because I spend a lot of time in Muslim countries. And to get in the country and out of the country, you have to know the mantra. You come into the country, and I'm not dressed like this, I'm dressed in my civilian clothes. And they look into my bags and they find my... "Sir, what is this?" "Oh, this is just some little beads for my daughter." "It's looking a little strange." "Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet." "Oh, sir, you're welcome to our country. You come in." And I have many friends, actually, who are devout Muslims, and we share knowledge like this. Many are like that. Oman, and Bahrain, and Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, all the stans. So he was very happy. "Oh, yes, tell me something about your Krishna." "Oh, he's very beautiful, and he's very kind. He comes to this world." Akbar said, "No, Allah does not come to this. God does not come to this world." Birbal says, "Sir, he comes." No. Because, you know, in the Islamic faith, they're not allowed to perceive the personality of Godhead. They believe in God, but so that they don't speculate, they don't have any pictures of God or descriptions of God. And you go into a mosque, it's just 4 walls. I've been in the Blue Mosque in Istanbul, very beautiful. There's no pictures, there's no altar, there's just, and you pray. Well, we respect that. But the beauty of our tradition is that we're attracted to God because of his personal characteristics. This is love. You love someone because of their personal characteristics. Hard to love someone you don't know. So, but Akbar said, no, it's not possible. He'll never, why he would come to here? Why he would come? And suddenly, 50 meters away, Akbar had a grandchild who fell into a pond. He was catching frogs. He fell into the pond. And there were many soldiers everywhere, and he had his personal bodyguards and his ministers, and there were people. And what did Akbar do? He took off his helmet, he had a huge coat, he was 7 feet tall. He was this bigger than me and about that much wider than me. He had a sword, saber, he had pistol in those days, he had, you know, so many jewels and necklaces, and just He's stripped down to his underwear, the emperor's new clothes. And he started running. He was a big man. Clouds of dust. And he jumped into the pond, and he was a good swimmer, unlike most Indian people. The whole continent is surrounded by water if nobody can swim. So then he dove into the water, and he dove to the bottom just in time with his little finger. He picked that boy up, swam, and placed him on the side of the pond and gave him a big smack in his backside. He spit out the water and started breathing. And all the women came. And then he walked back, and his servants came and dried him in the towel. And then he put on his clothes like this and then started walking again. So Birbal said, "Now you know why God comes." Akbar said, "Birbal, what are you talking about? I just rescued my grandson from drowning. What does it have to do with Allah coming to this world?" He said, "No." Birbal said, "There were so many people here. You could have commanded, rescue that boy, dive in, save him. There's hundreds of men here. But because he's your son, and because of your attachment, you personally went yourself to make sure that he was delivered." In the same way, Krishna says in Gita that he's the seed-giving father of all living entities, and he loves each and every one of those sons and daughters equally, intensely. And out of intense compassion, he comes to this world of birth and death where those very children are inimical to him. He comes and saves. So Akbar said, "Very nice, Birbal." He made his point. So it's actually out of compassion that God comes. No other reason. He has no interest in this world. Out of compassion. But we resist. We're like the swimmer. We're like the person who goes in the water and starts to drown because he's not a good swimmer. When I was young, I lived in California, so I was always at the beach, and eventually I trained to become a lifeguard. And one of the first things we learned in the duty of a lifeguard is when someone's drowning and you come to save them, sometimes they panic. And if you're not careful, in their panic, they grab onto you and they drag you down as well. You're trying to save them, but they panic and they drag you down. So what you do as a lifeguard is you always, just in case you ever have to save someone in the water, I doubt it, but someone will have to save you. You come from behind and you grab them, your arm, you put your arm around this neck and the shoulder under their armpit like this, and then you do the side stroke, you swim. And they can flail like this all they want, but their arms can't touch you. So then you swim backwards like this. Trick of the trade. But it's interesting that you know, you're drowning and you make it so difficult for the person who comes to save you. This is us. God is doing his best to deliver us, and we're putting up so much resistance. We give in a little bit. We come to the temple on Janmashtami or Ram Navami, and we put some $2 in the hundi. "Hello, God, this is my donation to you. You please save me from the repetition of birth and death and take me back to the spiritual world." Hello? Or then we put the money in and then we go out and we think that God doesn't see the bad things that we do because we close the door or we lock it with a key. We should make it easy for him to deliver, to manifest his compassion on us. And how does that compassion manifest? That's very interesting. His compassion, we think, you know, compassion means you just embrace the person. God's compassion comes in interesting ways. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya duskritam dharma samsta panartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He delivers his devotees, but he beats up the demons. Pow, pow, pow. And he reestablishes dharma, religion. So we can understand delivering his devotees, that's really compassionate. Rupa Goswami prays in his Padyavali, "My Lord, I'm drowning in this fathomless whirlpool called material existence. Please, Lord, just this one time, extend your hand to save me." This is the devotee. He realizes, "I'm drowning in this whirlpool of material existence." You ever been in a whirlpool? Gone. "Hey, Lord, I'm drowning. Quickly, extend your hand, save me." So what is that extension of mercy? Does it, this long arm, the long arm of the law, come into the world and then pick you up? No. That extension of mercy is the sadhu. God sends his representative, who is empowered by him, who represents him to deliver you. Therefore, in our philosophy, we accept a sadhu as good as God. Not that he's God, but he's empowered by God to deliver us by his mercy. So we take shelter of him, and by taking shelter of him, we get God's mercy. So he delivers the devotees, and he reestablishes religious principles. We forget, we concoct, we mess it all up. Religion becomes something weird. He comes every once in a while, and he speaks the Bhagavad Gita, establishes the real standard. He's very compassionate. And some boy in the university asked me the other day, "But you're talking about compassion, sir. How's it compassionate when he kills Hiranyaksha and he takes out the entrails of Hiranyakashipu and he kills Kumbhakarna and he kills Ravana? How's that compassion?" Well, it is compassion because these people are up to no good. And by doing all those bad things, hurting the innocent members of society, who are the innocent members of society? Matajis, babies, animals, brahmanas. These are the defenseless members of society. Innocent, but just as valuable as anyone else, on equal terms. But the demons, the bullies, they always pick on the weak guys. When I was young, I was very skinny. Very, very skinny. Opposite of him. And there was one bully when I was in sixth grade. He used to always pick on me. Big guy, pick on me. He made a big show. And my father, he said, "Okay, son, I'll tell you something about bullies. Actually, they're cowards. They have an inferiority complex. They're insecure. They just make a big show to look tough. So next time the bully comes up, you stand up to him." Boy, did I have a lot of Shraddha in my dad. "Okay, Dad." He said, "You say, 'Hey, bully, you want to fight?'" So the next day in the schoolyard, the big bully came. I'm thinking, I'm memorizing, "Hey, bully, you want to fight? Hey, bully, you want to fight? Hey, bully, you want to fight?" And he came, "Hey, you little skinny, run, you." And I stood up. "Hey, bully, you want to fight?" And sure enough, he got scared and he ran the other way and all his friends laughed at him. But just to be sure, I ran the other way too. So these bullies, they pick. They don't. A Kshatriya, he fights equally. A Kshatriya is meant to fight a man of the same stature with the same weapons. They don't involve the innocent members who, you know, how can a Mataji fight? We're sending Matajis to Iraq. How can they? The gun goes all over the place. It's not natural. Kali Yuga is topsy-turvy. They pick on the weak members. And not just pick on them, they abuse them in horrific ways. So it's good for these demons to be annihilated. For their own good, because they're accumulating so much bad karma, and obviously for the mass of people. This is the way we understand it. If you have a cancer in your system, the doctor goes in with the knife. There's no, you know, full spread in the New York Times the next day, you know. This doctor killed a cancer virus, you know. He should get capital punishment for this. No, everyone's happy. The person's happy, the cancer's been removed, the family's happy. No one's lamenting the cancer's been killed. So this cancerous condition of irreligion in society, which is symptomized by meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. God's very kind. He comes and removes those persons. They're not fictitious characters. They're real people. Om Am Hrim Shrom Om Tataka Hatake Keshava Jalat Padakalotana Bidharakanakish Varshadiva Shingha Namoshtute. O my Lord, O transcendental lion, I offer my obeisances to you along with Mother Lakshmi. Sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot, your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. So God is Hari. God is Hari. It means he who takes away all inauspiciousness. Just like the sun is so powerful, it can purify even the most contaminated place. The puddle of water is all muddy, and the sun will purify it. It'll dry it up. So any way you come in contact with God, he purifies you. You're doing it the intelligent way. You come to the temple and God looks at you. By his glance, you're purified. Darshan doesn't just mean you come to see God. He's not a statue. He's fully conscious. So he's also looking into your heart. What's he doing? By his vision, he's purifying your heart. Therefore, you should come to the temple as often as possible. Just to stand in front of the deities means, just to go into the sun means you see everything clearly and it's warm. After a cold winter, here comes the sun, da na na na, here comes the sun, I say. Of course, I don't know if you know this song. This is the Beatles. After a long, it's been a long, long, lonely winter. A long, long, miserable existence, many, many lifetimes. And we come in front of the sunshine of Krishna and he purifies us. But he also purifies the non-devotees because they're also his children. Do you not spank your children sometimes? Well, look, naughty, naughty, I told you. Don't spill the ink on my new cashmere sweater. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, sometimes those who don't surrender, they're also God's children. If you have a bad child, do you reject him? No, you try to rectify him. So the rectification, Hiranyakashipu, he got the rectification. Sometimes the Lord deals with him heavily, but don't lament, oh, the poor. No. Hiranyakashipu got liberated. He got freed of all lust, all anger and all greed by the touch of the nails of the Lord. It's going to take us maybe lifetimes to get freed from lust and anger and greed. Many lifetimes. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. We're Vaishnavas. We might not make it in one, two, or three, or four lifetimes. Hiranyakashipu. He got liberated. So this is the Lord's mercy. This is his compassion upon us. And in this age, there's the compassion is very deep, because hardly any of us have any qualifications and very little tora desire for spiritual life. But the Lord, seeing that little flame, he fans it. Like to build a fire, you have a little flame and then you fan it, right? So if God sees you have even the slightest interest, you come to the temple out of curiosity, you give a little donation for the construction of the beautiful temple you're building, you chant once in a while, it's not much, but God appreciates, like the father appreciates when the child takes the first step. So all of you are trying, and Lord is fanning your desire. He's so kind. And he makes it very easy for those of us who are the leftovers from the previous ages, satya tretundapura, were the leftovers. Who's interested in leftovers? We're the leftovers. We didn't make it. We didn't make it. We're still here doing the same nonsense over and over and over. So the Lord comes and he's very compassionate. He said, all right, all you have to do is sing my name. You sing, you dance, you have a little harikata, and after the program you feast. Even if you just want to feast, it's okay. I think the majority of people will come after the lecture. Am I correct? I know, I've been around a long time. Many people come, they're already sitting on those long rows of white paper on the there. They're already waiting. Okay. Prasad means mercy. To each his own. He's so kind, Prabhupada said, you can eat your way back to God. So there's some special mercy, and we're especially fallen, so we should take advantage, at least. Don't struggle. God's trying to save you. Don't fight it. Help him a little bit by chanting, dancing, and feasting. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.